Morning. Today's Daf Nida is Samach Dal. We're on the mission on the bottom, Samach Gimel Mud Beis and Vestos. Yesterday we started the topic of Vestos. We talked yesterday about Vestos Aguf. A woman has a physiological reaction or action. And with that, symptomatic of the fact that her menstrual period has started. They coordinate. The menstrual period started sometime at the beginning of her physiological action, or in the middle, or towards the end. In any event, once she discovers this correlation, so then that is what's called the Vestos Aguf. We learned yesterday that a Vestos Aguf is only established after one time. You don't need a chazaka for Vestos Aguf. One time already now sets the pattern, and from that point going forward, any time that she experiences the same physiological action, so then we assume that she's going to be in nida unless she knows otherwise, unless she does a bedika and she discovers otherwise. That is the Vestos Aguf that we learned about yesterday. Machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, which we're actually going to come back to this morning. How many times does it take to create a chazaka? Because when it comes to Vestos Hayamim, when it comes to calendaric Vestos, so that needs a pattern. And a pattern is established after two or three times. It depends who you hold like. If you hold like Rebbe, it's two times. If you hold like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, it's three times. And we're going to come back to that machlokes later this morning. We talked yesterday about if she has a vest, a calendaric vest, and she knows not only to the day, but to the hour of the day in which when to expect her cycle. So what do we say under those circumstances? Does she have to be suspicious of the entire Ona period, that's the 12-hour period, in which the vest exists, or does she only have to worry about that 1 hour itself? Machlokes Tanayim, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we saw that yesterday. The halacha goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi told us yesterday, the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, that a woman has to separate from her husband for the entire Ona, for the entire 12-hour period in which the vest exists. With all that stated, we're going to pick it up right now with the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Ha'isa Lamud Elios Ro Yom Tezvav. So let's say her normal Ria was 15 days. Now, let's assume right now that the Mishnah is describing an interval. Although, in just a moment, when we start with the Gemara, we're going to be talking about dates on the calendar, meaning monthly. But let's assume the number over here is in an interval, and I'm going to remind everybody what we said yesterday, and we also said earlier in the Masechta. The number 15, you're going to tack on 7, because it can't be that it's intervals of 15 days, because as we know, the woman has a cycle of 7-11. The 11 days are Yemei Ziva, not Yemei Nida. Any blood that she sees during the Yemei Ziva is by definition going to be Dam Ziva. So if it's a 15-day interval, so that means that the next time she sees 15 days after the beginning of the first time she saw, so then that's coming out during her Yemei Ziva. That can't be the Haschala Sanida. Can't be. So therefore, when we say 15 over here, what we really mean is 15 plus 7. It's 15 after her Yemei Nida, otherwise known as 22. So we are 15, if you could just convert it in your mind really quickly, 15 really means a 22-day interval. Okay. So Ha'isa Lamud Elios Ro'a Yom Tezvav. So she saw now on a 22-day interval, V'shinsa Elios Ro'a Yom Chaf. And then she moves from a 22-day interval to a 27-day interval. Now again, do the same thing. Over here, 20 days understand to be 20 days understand to be 27 days because all I just did is I tacked on the Shiva Yemei Nida. Okay, fine. So 15 is 22, 20 is 27, if you can remember that. So here's what she's doing. She's now moved from a 22-day interval to a 27-day interval. Zevaz de Asurin. Now, in the following month. So now she's got two interval times that she has to be worried about. One is the 22 and the other one is the 27. So fine. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. Zevaz de Asurin. Meaning she didn't lose the 22-day interval because that was already a chazaka. She was, if you look carefully at the language of the Mishnah, limuda. She was used to seeing that number. So that number doesn't go away, not after one time and not after two times. And as it will become clear, and you probably guessed correctly, it's going to be after she misses that number three times, then and only then does she not need to worry about it. So the Mishnah says, Zevazeh Asurim, Shinta Pamayim, Liyom Chav, Zevazeh Asurim. If let's say now two times she goes to 20, so Zevazeh Asurim, meaning she still has to worry about the 22-day interval because that hasn't gone away. And she obviously still needs to worry about the 27-day interval as that seems to be her new pattern. Now I say seems to be because our Mishnah over here is subscribing to the position that how many times does it take to create a chazaka? Three times. Even though she's now experienced it two times, that hasn't yet established a chazaka. Shinsa Gimel Pamim Liyom Chaf. So now, three times she's moved from 22 to 27. So now, we've done two things. One, we've established a new pattern for her. Now it's 27 days. And two, we've now erased the pattern of 22. So Hutter Tezvav Kavala Yomchav, and the Mishnah says it, that these two things now are happening concurrently. The erasing of the old Chazaka and the institution of the new Chazaka. And then the Mishnah says, just in case we weren't clear about this point, She'enisha Kavas Lavest Ad Shetikva Enu Gimel Pa'amim Ve'ena Metaharis Min Avest Ad Shetei Akir Mimenu Gimel Pa'amim. So the establishment of a new vest has to be done three times, and the erasing of the old vest has to be where you missed it three times. Itmar. With that stated, the Gemara starts off with the following discussion. Rasa Yom Chamisha Asar L'Chorzeh, V'yom Tezvav L'Chorzeh, V'yom Shiva Asar L'Chorzeh. Okay, now we're going to be entertaining a new pattern. Now this pattern over here is based on a month. In other words, we're working with the calendar, and we're working with dates on the calendar. Now over here, and Rashi says a beferish. And the truth of the matter is, the Gemara says a beferish. Right? Asar, right? Rasa Yom Chamisha Asar L'Chodesh Zeh. So the easiest way to explain the Gemara is that we're talking about dates on the month. And one month she saw on the 15th of the month. Next month she saw on the 16th. Next month she saw on the 17th. Okay, this is not high level pattern searching over here. It's very clear what the pattern is that we're looking at. We're looking at now it incrementally adds one date every month. So it goes 15, 16, 17. Now the way the calendar works, you know this pattern has to end. It has to. Right, the calendar only goes up to 30 days, and that's not even every month. That's every other month. So the pattern is going to have to come to an end. And maybe you could make the argument that the pattern may roll over into the next month, perhaps. And the Gemara is not even going that far. Okay, that's next level Gemara. But right now, what we're describing is she has seen 15, 16, 17. Here becomes the question: 15, 16, 17. Is she already established a pattern? Now, before we go with the Gemara is going to debate this issue. But if we could just say it outside first, you could see both sides of the debate very clearly. In the previous discussion, in the Mishnah's case, she went 15, 15, 15. Okay, so those are three intervals. Well, those are three intervals. We've now established a pattern. But here, when you're climbing up 15, 16, 17, well, the only way that I really know about the pattern is only because I went from 15 to 16, I jumped up one. I could really call that one, because that establishes a pattern. Then going from 16 to 17, well, I can call that two. Well, two doesn't establish a pattern. You need three to establish a pattern. So you could make the argument that really you have to go to 17 to 18 until the pattern's been established. That's one way to say it. Another way to say it is, well, no. In other words, 15 to 16, that's one and two. Because I see now the pattern, it jumps up one. I understand that I need two in order to establish it, but still, 15 to 16, that's one and two. 16 to 17, that's two and three. And now, I already have the pattern set. And then next month when she sees on 18, that's what's called her vest kavua. Even before she sees on 18, 18 will be her vest kavua. That's another way to say it. So, what would you imagine? Becomes a machlokus in the Gemara. So, again, Rasa Yom, I'm reading from the top. Rasa Yom Chamisha Asar L'Chodesh Zeh, V'yom Tez Zayin L'Chodesh Zeh, V'yom Shiva Asar L'Chodesh Zeh, Rav Amar, Kavala Vest, L'Dilug. So Rav says at this point in time, already a vest has been established. Now, Dilug, obviously, it skips one every month, but we get that. Ushmul Amar Achet Tishalash B'Dilug. And Shmuel says, no, it is not a pattern, and it will not be a pattern until you have to see one more. Because, like I described earlier, to go from 15 to 16, that's one. 16 to 17, that's two. And you need to go from 17 to 18 according to Shmuel. Now, what the Gemara first, let's just follow the Gemara inside. Namar Rav Shmuel b'plug to the Rabbi Rav Shimon Gamliel kamiflagi. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe what they're really arguing about is how many do you need to create a pattern? Maybe this is a machlokus between Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, Nisa Sarishon HaMesla Sheni HaMesla Shisha Lo Tinase Divi Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amer L'Gimel Tinase L'Dal Lo Tinase. This is the Gemara in Yavamos regarding a woman who marries a man and she buries her first husband. She marries a second man, she buries a second husband. Now, even before we get to the machlokas between Rabbi and Rashim and Gamliel, so my advice to her third future husband is, you know what, I'd be a little bit cautious, just a little bit. Let's put the joke aside for now. And the simple question of, is she allowed to marry or not she? Is a man allowed to marry her? She what may be called in halacha katlanis. She kills her husband. We are not suggesting that she murdered her husbands, her first two husbands. although I'm not going to rule it out, but the right, I don't want to take that off the table. But the but what's clearly happening over here is that there's some pattern that's established that you marry her and you die. So how many times does it take to establish a pattern? So Rebbe says that after two men, after she buries two husbands, the third husband's not allowed to marry her. Rav Shimon Gamliel says three. If she buries three husbands, then the fourth one's not allowed to marry her. Okay, I'm going to go back to the joke because I just can't help myself. I do question the fourth one, like life decisions, but nevertheless, fourth man, only the fourth man is not allowed to marry her. So the Gemara suggests, and this Machlok Shin Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel has many applications in the halach in terms of how many times it takes to establish halach, a chazaka. It's interesting that the Gemara over here quotes the case of the Katlanis. There's so many other areas that we could turn to. And it's funny because we just talked about how the Machlok Shin Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel also has the application when it comes to Vestos. But I guess this price is a primary source in any event. The Machlok Shin Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe, two times to create a chazaka. Rav Shimon Gamliel, three times to create a chazaka. Perhaps that's the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara says, no. The Kulei Amakar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Everyone holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, three times to create a chazaka. V'hachabah kamiflagi, Rav Savar Chamisha asar miminyana, Ushmuel Savar keman delav bedilug chazisei lav miminyanahu. And the Gemara says that the machlokus is like I explained already in the beginning. And that is when we're doing the vest bedilug, and we're going up a number. Is 15 count or is 15 not counted? 15 anchors the number, but it also, do we get to count that number as well? And again, that's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, yeah, you get to count the number, and Shmuel says, no, 15 only could serve as an anchor. It only is there to tell me that the next number is going to be the one where we jump up. But 16 now is only number one, and 17 is number two according to Shmuel. And you need 18. Okay.
So that's what we assume in the fourth month that she'll have another 15? Or any one of the three?
Could be anyone. In other words, a pattern hasn't been set according to Shmuel. We don't know.
So they would say you make Chazuk will be three times she has one, two, three. Three times. So like the ninth month, you know.
Okay. I hear you. But the point is that according to Shmuel, we have not set the Chazaka. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges. Haisalamud Elios Ra, Yom Tezva, Vishinsel, Yom Shisha Asar. Zevezah Asurim. So here we have a brisa, and in this brisa, she normally sees on 15. Now again, could be talking about a date, could be talking about an interval, but in any event, she normally sees on 15. Vishintal yom shisha asar, and then next month rolls around, and then she moved to 16. So zevezah asurin. So once again, the chazaka has not been broken. So 15 still has to be a day where she is cautious of, and 16 now is a day that she has to be concerned about because it's possible. Now shintal yom shiva asar. Now, the next month she moved to 17. So now she moved to 17 the next month. Huter shisha asar, v'nesar chamisha asar. Really interesting. So 16 now, totally gone. Why? Because 16 wasn't established as a pattern. So as long as she skips one month of 16, that's it. 16 now is a forgotten number. 15, however, is not forgotten. Because 15 was already set as a pattern. The vest kavu was on 15. And how many times does it take in order for her to lose the vest kavua? Three times. So now when she moves from 16 to 17, 16 is lost, but 15 still is a number she needs to be concerned about. Chamisha asar v'shiva asar. And so next month she has to worry about 15 and 17. Now, shinsa liyom shemona asar. She then, next month goes to 18. Hutra kulan. I mean, asar ela mishmona asar ve'elech. So now, once again, two things have just happened. One, the old chazaka is gone. Because that's three times now that she has not seen on 15. So the old chazaka is gone. And two, is that what we have over here is we have established a new pattern. We've gone from 15, 16, 17, and now we can all guess correctly that the next one's going to be 18. So mishmona asar ve'elech. So kasha l'rav. So this is going to be difficult for Rav. Why? Because in the braisa, I'm sorry, one correction. We're not guessing 18. In other words, she saw an 18. Sorry. So we're guessing 19. Okay. So this obviously becomes difficult for Rav because Rav said you go 15, 16, 17, and you already now can guess 18. The pattern has already been established. And in the Brisa went 15, 16, 17, 18, and now the pattern's been established. So for Shmuel, the Brisa is very good. For Rav, the Brisa is very difficult. But the Gemara has a wonderful defense of Rav. Amlecha Rav Limudashani. The Gemara says no. This case is going to be different. Why? Because consider, in this case, she already has a vest kavua on 15. So you want to now guess correctly. We go 15, 16 to 17, and now the next time is going to be 18. Rav will tell you this case is different because 15 already belongs to another pattern. What other pattern does 15 belong to? Every 15th of the month. So the fact that she goes from 15 to 16, all of a sudden, that's a deviation from what normally happens. Meaning, normally she sees on the 15th. So when she goes from 15 to 16, so you can't say, oh yeah, 15, 16, that's 1, 2, because 15 belongs to a previous pattern. Mm-hmm. So that's why in this case, Rav says, of course you're going to have to see 16, 17, and 18. We got to climb the ladder in this case, because 15 belongs to a different pattern.
Does this mean that Rav says that Laka, you need 3, and to establish you need 2?
No. To establish you need 3.
What?
To establish you need 3.
Not 3 intervals. 3 times to see.
You need, if we're working on intervals, you need 3 intervals. If it's dates of the month, it's 3 dates. It's 3. The number's 3.
To 17,
17. I'll tell you what. Let's just come to me afterwards. I'll discuss in more detail. Udikarila and Maikarila. So the Gemara says, look, this answer that we defended Rav, it's such a good answer. In fact, it's too good. Meaning, you knew this was coming. This case over here, 15 belongs to a different pattern, and that's why over here Rav will tell you, I can't count 15 towards the Veth Bedilug. Fine. You saw this answer coming. Such a good answer. What were you even thinking to begin with? So Limud Yitzrich Le, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because Ma'u Detem Akim De Limud Devar Karta Betrei Zimne Akra Le. So the Gemara says, well, since she used to sing and now she was Okir 2 times. So I might have thought that the Akira 2 times would totally upset the old pattern. So Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is no. That in order to upset the old pattern, you have to miss it 3 times. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges Rasa Yom Esrim Ve'echad B'chodesh Zeh. V'yom Esrim V'shnayim B'chodesh Zeh. V'yom Esrim V'shlosha B'chodesh Zeh. Kava LaVest. So, in this Braisa, she sees on day 21 of 1 month, 22 of the 2nd month, 23 of the 3rd month. She has now established a pattern. Sirga liyom esrim va'arba. However, let's say in month 30, in the 3rd month, she didn't go from, she didn't see on 22, but she went on 24. Okay. So, what if she went 21, 22, and then the 3rd month, 24? Lo kavala vest. That's not a vest. That seems to be a pretty obvious point. Right, that's not a pattern. But anyway, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. So it's Yufta Dishmul. Now, this Braisa over here, great support for Rav, because this Braisa goes 21, 22, 23, and a pattern now has been established. That's the Braisa. That's like Rav. Shmuel says, no, if it's a Vespa Dilug, you got to see it jump up 3 times after it's been anchored. So Amlecha Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Hachba Maiskin and Kagon, Derigila Lamechle Biyam Esrim, Vishinso Liyam Esrim Ve'echad. Shmuel will tell you, yeah, you know what? There's a missing portion of the Braisa. There's more to the story of this Braisa. The Braisa starts off with a scenario in which she normally sees on day 20. And then she jumped up to 21. That's where the Braisa picks up. She jumps up to 22. Then she jumps up to 23. That's the case of the Braisa. But in other words, but she already was seeing on day 20 normally. So, and the Gemara says, and you know what? I know we're adding a lot of narrative to the Braisa, but it makes sense. Deganami deshapkin le'asrim v'naka le'asrim v'achach mamina. Yeah. Why did the Braisa start at number 21? You know, Braisa is like working with whole numbers. 20, 15, right? The Braisa starting at 21, that seems somewhat arbitrary. Oh, because she already had a set vest on the 20th of the month. And now the Braisa is picking up the next month she went to 21, the next month 22, the next month 23, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So where do we leave ourselves off? It's machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, a vest bedilug. When a woman climbs up and she goes from the 15th to the 16th to the 17th, has the pattern already been set? Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. For Shmuel, she needs to go 1 more month up in order for her to set a pattern. The Gemara suggested, so machlokes between Rabbi and Rishim and Gamliel. The Gemara rejected that as a suggestion. They both subscribe to Rishim and Gamliel. 3 times creates a chazaka. It's just that when I'm going up a dilog, can I count that first one? According to Rav, yes, you can. According to Shmuel, no. The first one only sets as an anchor. So then I now know the next one is jumping up, but that next one is 1, and the following one is 2, and the following one is 3. Okay. Gemara continues. Ein isha kavas lavesa shetikva ena amir rapapa lo amarn ela lemikva v'ala mechush la b'chad hazim ha'chaisha. Rapapa makes the following assertion. In order of koveya vest, to establish a vest, it has to be three times. But for a cheshash, you see it one time, you have to be concerned. And that means that if there is any deviation, so for the following month, you have to worry about that deviation. So my kamash blantinina, the Gemara says, okay, Rav Papa, thank you, but you know, we saw that back in the Mishnah. Meaning, Rav Papa, you're not telling us anything new. Right? Remember the Mishnah? She normally sees on 15, and remember, 15 is 22. And then she jumps up 1 month from 22 to 27. She has to worry about the 22, and at the same time worry, I'm sorry, she has to, not worry, let's say it like that. She has to worry about 22, and she has to worry about 27. Even though this is the first time she deviated to 27. So it's clear in the Mishnah that when you deviate, so it doesn't set a new pattern, but you still have to be choshesh. So imi hasam hava mina hani mila hecha dekaime betoch yimei nidasa. Ava hecha galokaime besoch yimei nidasa ima lo, kamash malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you this. If the deviation was yimei nidasa, fine. But let's say it wasn't during a yimei nidasa, is that also something she has to be choshesh about? And that's what Rav Papa is adding to our discussion. That a chashash occurs even if it's not during Yemei Nidasa. Ve'inim ataris min avest. Amar ha-papa lo amar ne'ela dekav ase talse zimne. Disriche talte zimne le me'akre. Aval tre'i zimne bechad zimne me'akre. So Rav Papa also gives us another point, which again seems to be something we already know. In order for ikur, in order to uproot a vest, you have to skip it three times. But tre'i zimne bechad zimne me'akre. But two times for one time, that's going to be ma'akir. My kamash melantanina. So the Gemara says, again, I think we knew that. Kvius, establishment only comes at three times. So the Gemara says, well, I might have had the following havamina. To establish a vest, you need three. And if it's only one time, you only need one time to uproot it. However, if let's say she had two times. Now, I know it hasn't been established, but as a havamina, let's be concerned that unless you skip it two times, it's not totally forgotten. Meaning the chiddush of her papa is that if she saw two times, if she was getting to a pattern, but she only saw two times, if she misses it the third time, it's now totally forgotten. It's expunged. Oh, that's the chiddush of her papa. I might have thought that if she saw two times, she needs to forget or she needs to miss it two consecutive times. Okay. Tanya Kavasa de Rapap, the Gemara now quotes the Brisa supporting Rapapa, Haisa Lemud Leos Ro Yom Esrim, Vishinsa Leom Shloshim, Zev is Asurim. She normally sees on day 20 and then she moved to day 30. So, Zev is Asurim. And the next round, she has to be worried about 20 and 30. Again, 20 is not forgotten because 20 was the Vest Kavua, and 30 is now a new number that she has to be worried about one time. Higia Yom Esrim Velo Ra'asa, Mutar Sloshamish Ad Yom Shloshim. So now, if day 20 of the next round, day 20 comes and goes, and she didn't see on day 20, So now she's good with her husband. She could be with her husband until day 30. But on day 30, she has to be concerned. That now becomes a no-no, which she has to separate from her husband out of concern that it may come on day 30. So now, let's say day 30 comes and she sees. So Higia Yom Esrim V'lo Ra'asa, V'higia Lom Yom Shloshim V'lo Ra'asa, V'higia Lom Yom Esrim V'ra'asa. So now, let's say we go another round where she doesn't see on day 20 and she doesn't see on day 30. Yom Esrim, V'lo Rasa V'Gia Yom Shloshim V'lo Rasa V'Gia Yom Esrim V'Rasa. So Hutter Yom Shloshim, by virtue of the fact that she missed day 30 one time, that's enough to undo it. V'Nesa Yom Esrim Mimnesha Orach Bezman Oba. And the fact that she has not skipped three cycles of 20 means that 20 still remains the pattern. And when she sees on day 20, so at that point in time, she assumes that Orech Bezman Noba, it's coming at the appointed time. Nashim Biv Sulehem. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah on the top of Samach Dalamid Beis, and we're talking now about the Besula. Now, it's interesting in the following sense. The upcoming parak, the last parak of our Masechta, is going to be talking about Dam Besula. Dam Besula, a major topic of the 10th parak. And I'll introduce them more as we open up the 10th parak, but we have a Mishnah right now that makes mention, not just mention, but kind of like an introduction to Dam Besulim. It's almost like this Mishnah over here, either it belongs to the 10th parak, I don't want to say that, because the Masor we have in terms of how the parakim are broken are pretty good. Sometimes we mix parakim up, right, the third and fourth parakim of Megillah. In the Mishnah, they go one way, in the Gemara, they go another way. Okay. But, right, it's not fair to say that. Or it just could be that this is like a preamble. Like this Mishnah over here in the upcoming Gemara is almost like a introduction to the upcoming Perek. Nashim b'fsuleim kigefanim. So a woman who's a basula is like a gefen, she's like a vineyard. This is, if I'm going to count this as an analogy, this will be the third time in our Masechta that we compared a woman, right? The Andaf Yitzayin, compared the reproductive system like a bias and aliyah on top, right? We compare the development of a woman earlier, like the figs, like the development of a fig. And so now we're describing the Dan Basulim, it's Kigafanim. Okay, it's like a vineyard. Yesh gefen shegena adam, some reds are wine. Yesh gefen shegena shachar, some reds are some wines are black, or some grapes are black. Yesh gefen shegena meruba, some grapes produce a lot of juice. Yesh gefen shegena tamuat, some grapes produce not a lot of juice. Rav Yehuda Omer kol gefen yesh by yayin, v'shein by yayin har is a dorkati. Now every grape is going to produce wine, and if it doesn't produce wine, this is a dorkati. Now what is a dorkati? Take a look at Rashi over here. So Rashi actually breaks up the word into two. So obviously Rashi understands this as a contraction of two words. Reading the Rashi inside Dor Katua, Kevin She'ein Lahem Damim Merubim, Ein Benehem Merubim. So Rashi notes over here, and the Gemara is going to say it. So Rashi gets it from the Gemara. The idea that when a woman has a lot of blood, so it is a precursor to the idea that she's going to have a lot of children. And she does not have a lot of blood, so it foretells that she's not going to have a lot of children. Tana Dor Katua, Tani. The Brisa breaks up the word Dor Kati into two words. Okay, that's obviously where Rashi got it from. And Tani Rabbi Chia Kishim Shasor Yafel Isa. Just like yeast is very good for the bread, it helps ferment the bread, the dough. Kach Damim Yafim Liisha. Same thing is true regarding the bleeding that emerges from a woman and the amount of children that she's going to have. Tana Mishum Rabbi Meir Kol Isha Shadamem Merubim Banem Merubim. And the Brisa also quotes Rabbi Meir, citing this correlation between her bleeding and the amount of children that she has. I am a little bit confused. Are we talking here about the Dan Basulim being abundant, and that is forecasting the amount of children that she has? Are we talking about the Dan Nida, the menstrual blood that comes out? Is that forecasting her children? This is my own uncertainty. I'm not totally clear which bleeding are we referring to. Hajra Lachisha, that is the end of the ninth parak of the Masechta, and here we begin the tenth parak. Tenth parak of the Masechta is a description of Dam Desula. A woman in her virginity has a sac of blood. It exists in the posterior of the canal. Obviously, it's going to be ruptured the first time that she has relations. It could be ruptured other ways as well. The Gemara back in Ksuvas talked about a woman rupturing her Besulim, riding on a horse or mukasets, right? Just an accident occurred. Whatever the case is, so it could be ruptured in other ways, but normally it's ruptured in the first time that she is with her husband. Dam Basulim is not Dam Nida. It's not uterine blood. It's separate blood. It's Dam Basulim. So coming from her hymenal sac. So as a result of that, so it's not going to make her a Nida. When a husband has relations with his new wife for the first time, so it is, she's not a Nida. It's Dam Basulim. Okay. As we will be learning over the first couple of days of the 10th parak of the Masechta, so we are going to be bizmanenu. Nowadays, we're going to be machmir. But we'll talk about that more in tomorrow's daf. For now, just let's learn with the Mishnah. Let's go through basic step-by-step in terms of the Dam Basulim. The question becomes the following, and this is really what our Mishnah is addressing. So a husband's with his wife for the first time, and the rupturing of the Dam Basulim, so that's Dam Basulim, and that's pretty clear. How long can you now assume that any bleeding that occurs from her is going to in fact be Dam Basulim, and it's not Dam Nida? Meaning the challenge now, after the first time, is, well, how do I know? How does a person know that it's no longer Dam Basulim, but it's rather now Dam Nida? Okay. And that's what we're going to be discussing. It's that challenge that's going to be discussed in our first Mishnah over here. Mm-hmm. And what the Mishnah is going to do is it's going to break up a woman into three developmental stages. Tinoka shelo igiyaz man aliros. Stage number one is we're talking about a young woman, very young, who shelo igiyaz man aliros. She hasn't started menstruating. She hasn't reached the age of menstruation. Now, again, in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Rishonim, where women got married at a very young age. And so she is not menstruating as of yet. So there, a stronger assumption can be made that the bleeding is going to be dam besulim and not dam nida, and for a very good reason, because she hasn't started menstruating. So tinelka shelo yigiz man leiros v'niseis, and she gets married. Beis Shammai armin nosan la arba leilos. So Beis Shammai says 4 nights. So she only has 4 nights with her husband, where if she bleeds on those 4 nights, we can assume that's dam besulim. After the 4 nights, any bleeding that occurs cannot be assumed to be dam besulim, but now we have to suspect it's dam nida. Beis Hillel omrim ashetichi amaka. Beis Hillel says until the wound is healed. Now, how do you know when the wound is healed? So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to be discussing that very question. So that's stage number one of the woman. That's tinokas shelohi geaz manaliros. She hasn't started menstruating yet. She hasn't gotten to the age of menstruation yet. Stage number two. He geaz manaliros v'niseis. Let's say she gets to the age of menstruation, but she actually hasn't started menstruating as of yet. So v'niseis. Beis Shammai armin nosan la laila rishon. So Beis Shammai says he gave her the first night with her husband. She could be with her husband that whole first night, but that's it. Meaning after that point in time, any bleeding is going to be suspected of being dam nida. And Beis Hillel armin ad motzei Shabbos arba leilos. And Beis Shammai says you have till motzei Shabbos, which is 4 nights. Why is motzei Shabbos going to be 4 nights? So let's go back to the beginning of Ksuvos. So the beginning of Ksuvos, so we learned together that the day of marriage is going to be Wednesday. Right? And of course, because it's wed. That's the time that you get married. Wednesday. It's not true. I've said it before. And it's not true before, and it's not true now. But it is a great mnemonic device. I will give myself that. But no. Wednesday is the day you get married. You remember the beginning of Ksuvos. Why do you get married on Wednesday? Because if there's any problems whatsoever, they can go to Beis Din on Thursday. It is, I know, not an optimistic way to look at marriage. I understand, but the realities are such. In other words, and you want to get the man while he's still heated, right? If let's say they have to wait to go to Beis Din, so he may come down. I'm not going to go through the whole beginning of Ksuvos again, but anyway, that's why they get married on Wednesday. Well, if they wanted to get married on Sunday, because you know Beis Din operates on Monday and Thursday, so you know the Gemara's answer over there, the caterer, right? Well, we're gonna discuss that in detail. Okay. So anyway, so the marriages occur on Wednesday. The Pesul gets married on Wednesday. So that means now Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Motzei Shabbos. That's 4 nights, and that's why the Mishnah says on Motzei Shabbos arba leilos. So it's until Motzei Shabbos, and it's 4 nights. Now, once you know the Mishnah Ksuvos, you could say on Motzei Shabbos, and we know that it's 4 nights. Why did the Mishnah say 4 nights? So hold that thought, because we're going to address that question. And now we're up to the third stage of the development of a woman. Rasa v'oda b'veis aviha. So she sees and she's in her father's house. Meaning, not only did she get to the age of menstruation, but she actually already started menstruating. So now, she already has damnida. She's already experienced damnida before. So Beis Shammai armim nosala b'ilas mitzvah. So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that it's only the first act of beer with her husband, which is permitted. And then, after that, cannot be again. Because any subsequent bleeding may in fact be damnida and not dam besulim. Okay. So
why don't we use the concept of teluya here, knowing that a trauma will cause the dam besulim to come out? Why is there a chashash to think about nida?
No, for the first time you know dam besulim. After that, however, you don't know.
After that.
So mitzvah basil armim call a laila kula. And basil is of the opinion it's called a laila kula, you have the whole first night, according to basil. Again, in terms of the halacha lamaisa, the practice halacha, I'm going to ask everyone to wait. Tomorrow, we're going to be discussing it in more detail. But anyway, so that's our Mishnah. And just a quick recap of the Mishnah. So we now have looked at the developing woman in three developmental stages. Stage number one, before she has reached the age of menstruation. Stage number two, she's reached the age of menstruation, but she hasn't started menstruating as of yet. And stage number three, she's reached the age and she started menstruating. And in these three stages, I'm just going to look at it from Beis Hillel's perspective. Okay? With no disrespect to Beis Shammai, but just so we could see the progression, according to Beis Hillel. So, and it's stage number one. So Beis Hillel says that she could be with her husband, Ashetich Yamak, until the wound heals. That needs clarification, but that's stage number one. In stage number two, she could be with her husband for 4 nights, up until Motzei Shabbos, including Motzei Shabbos. And in stage number three, so she can only be with her husband for the first night, but the entire first night, all according to Beis Hillel. Okay. Much to discuss over here in our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off the discussion on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Vafilu Rasa. Now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak introduces a chiddush, and that is as follows. When we're talking about stage number one, she hasn't reached the age of menstruation. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, and I'll add to the chiddush of the Mishnah. and even if she actually menstruated. Meaning, what happened? It's a bit of an anomaly. Thank you. It's a bit of an anomaly that she started bleeding during the stage one. It wasn't expected. She hasn't reached the age of puberty, but nevertheless, she started menstruating. Still, halachically, from a dam besulim standpoint, she's still going to be in stage one, and so therefore, when she marries, she could be with her husband ashetechi amaka mimai. And Rav Nachman writes like says, and what would support my position? So his argument's like this. Do you know when we started making a distinction of where she didn't see versus where she saw? Only when she matriculated to the next stage of where she got to the age of puberty. There we made a distinction, which means that prior to that point in time, it doesn't make a difference. And here we have a brisa, and the brisa says a beferish. So this chiddush of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, within our Mishnah, is absolutely a chiddush. But in the Brisa says it beferish. Ashetichi amaka ad kama am Rav Yehuda am Rav kozman shenocheres. Okay. Now this is going to be tough to do, and that is, we're going to try to give an operational definition of ashetichi amaka until the wound heals. Okay. This is an internal wound. It's kind of hard to determine whether or not the wound healed or the wound did not heal. How do you know whether or not the sac, in fact, is still open, and so therefore the bleeding is coming from the dam besulim, the hymenal sac, or it could be that it's uterine blood? So the Mishnah says that for a woman who's in stage one, so it's achetech yamaka. But how do we know? So the Gemara starts off with the following operational definition, kozman shenal cheres. Well, as long as the, now this is an analogy, obviously, as long as the nostril is flaring, okay, that doesn't help any of us. So and so we sat in front of Shmuel, and he said to us, I don't know what that is. Now remember, Shmuel was a doctor, and Shmuel obviously wanted a very clear operating definition. And when Rav Yehuda, who was a student to both Rav and Shmuel, when he went over to Shmuel and told Shmuel, hey, this is what Rav said, so Shmuel says, it doesn't mean anything to me. Okay. So Ela kozman she harok masu besocha pe machmas tashmish. And so Shmuel gives the following definition. As long as there is blood found within the woman, every time that she's with her husband, so then that can be ascribed, it can be assumed that that is dam besulim, not dam nida. Meaning if at any point in time they have tashmish and there was no bleeding, so interestingly enough and kind of ironically, now we know that the wound is healed. So that means that every time since the first night that they're together, so if there's blood, it's still dam besulim. But once there's no blood there, so and that means now from this point going forward, the wound has healed, and therefore it is now possibly dam nida. Nechira dekamer Rav hechidami. Now, let's go back to Rav and his definition of nechira. So Amar Shmuel bar Rav, Yitzchak ledidi mefarsh leminei de Rav. So we're going to go back to Rav's definition. And Amoraim have a tradition that they received directly from Rav in terms of what this nechira is. So Omedes v'roa, Yoshevas ve'eno roa. So let's say when she's standing, she sees. But when she's sitting, she does not see. Biadua. So at that point in time, we know that the wound is not healed. If let's say she's sitting uncomfortably on the ground, and she sees, or comfortably on cushions, and she does not see, so at that point in time, we know that the wound is not healed. If, however, she either, while in a sitting position, it doesn't matter comfortably, uncomfortably, she sees, or the other way. Comfortably, uncomfortably, she does not see. We know now that the wound is healed. And if you look at Tosus over here, Tosus says, what do you mean we know? We don't know. Meaning we're suspecting. That's how Tosus understands the Gemara. Is that now that there's no distinction in terms of how she sits, whether she sits comfortably or uncomfortably, either the bleeding has totally stopped or she's bleeding in both circumstances. So now we get the impression that this is no longer dam besulim, and it must be some other dam. We don't know, says Tosfos, but now we have suspicion to believe that it is now dam nida. Higiyaz mana, continuing in the Gemara, itmar shimsha biyamim. Okay, we're now talking at stage number two. In stage number two, she has reached the age of menstruation. She hasn't started menstruating yet. So in terms of her dam besulim status, according to Beis Hillel, she could be with her husband for the first four nights. From Wednesday night through Motzei Shabbos. Now the question becomes as follows, says the Gemara, Shim Shabi Yamim. Let's say she's with her husband during the daytime. Now, we already talked about how that's not sneezed, it's not appropriate, but, excuse me, that's not the question of the Gemara. The Gemara will be sensitive to that in just a moment, but right now that's not the question. This four-night allowance that Beis Hillel gives with our woman in stage two and her husband, is it four nights because it's four times that she's with her husband? Or is it four nights meaning it's just simply an interval of time? It's from Wednesday night to Motzei Shabbos, regardless of how often she's with her husband. That's really what's at the core of this question. And let's say that the newlyweds are with each other any time during the day on Thursday or on Friday or on Shabbos. Does that take away now a night? Okay. So Rav Amar lo hifsida leilos, v'levi Amar hifsida leilos. And this is a machlokas Amarayim. According to Rav, what the Mishnah is giving us is an interval of time from Wednesday night until Motzei Shabbos. And they could be with each other as often as they want from Wednesday night to Motzei Shabbos without any concern of that this is not Dan Besulim. That's it. That's Rav's understanding of the Mishnah. And Levi's understanding is no. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that they are together for four nights. That's what's allowed. Now, when I say together, by the way, it seems to be that a night counts as the course of an entire night. But still, it's an allowance of how many times they could be with each other. If they are with each other during the daytime, according to Levi, that uses up one of their intervals, and so therefore it takes away one of their intervals. Rav Amar lo hifsida leilos an Motzei Shabbos tanan. Now, Rav has a wonderful support, and that is read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says they have four nights until Motzei Shabbos. Sounds like, doesn't matter how often they're with each other, and even if they're with each other during the daytime. And Levi Amar hifsida leilos, my arba leilos diktani arba onos. And Levi says, no, arba leilos over here does not mean a time of day. It means an interval of time. And so therefore, they're with each other during the day. That just uses up one of their intervals. Ularav lama lelemisne arba leilos. So, according to Rav, why does the Mishnah say arba leilos? Meaning, why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say, and more say Shabbos? Mm-hmm. According to Rav, isn't that the critical point of the Mishnah? And arba leilos is confusing us, right? So the Gemara says, no, it's not. So the Gemara says, no. Our Mishnah wants to make one point, which is, how long do we have to worry about Dan Besulim until Motzei Shabbos? And then, while I'm here, the Mishnah says, and also, let's learn some Derech Eretz together. Right? Proper conduct between husband and wife, that they should be together during the night, not during the day. Okay. That's the reason why the Mishnah says, Arba Leilos. Now, according to Levi, it's really Dalet Onos. That's critical. Why would the Mishnah then have to say, Ad Motzei Shabbos, HaKamash Lan, Deshar Lamiv, Alet Chachila, B'Shabbos? So the Gemara says he wants to teach us a halacha about Hilcha Shabbos, and that is, they could be together even if it's the first time, even though it's Friday night. Now, once again, if you go back to the beginning of Ksuvas, you remember a lengthy discussion over there in terms of whether or not it would be permitted for a woman to be with her husband if this is the first time on a Friday night. Why? Because it's going to create a chabura. It's going to be opening a Pesach. And so there are Shabbos considerations. And so therefore, what our Mishnah wants to tell us is that if the first time happens to be on a Friday night, that would be permissible. If, let's say, the entrance is very narrow, but still there's an entrance over there, and even though by squeezing through you're going to be opening up the entrance a little bit more, that would be mutali kanes ba b'Shabbos. You're allowed to go into it on Shabbos. V'afa pishameshir tzoros. And even though some pebbles, by the way, Shmuel's not giving an analogy. Shmuel's talking literally, it's a Pesach, it's an opening. And you're going to get through, and by you going through, so some stones are going to come out, and you're going to be widening the Pesach. But that's not your kavana. It's a davashena miskaving. And yes, it's a psik resha, and yes, when you go back to Ksuvos, and you learn this back in Ksuvos, so Tosfos there discusses that at length, in terms of it's a davashena miskaving, but it is a psik resha, most probably a psik resha. So we back there in Ksuvos, we discussed it at length. Okay. It's a good place to stop. In fact, we will. Let's quickly recap. We finished the ninth parak of the Masechta this morning. We talked about Vestos Hayamim. We talked about calendaric Vestos. Machlok Tchin Rebbe and Rishim and Gamliel, how many times does it take to create a pattern? Rebbe says two, Rishim and Gamliel says three. Our Gemara subscribes to the position of Rishim and Gamliel. The first question that we dealt with today is Vest Bedilog, climbing up every month. She goes from 15 to 16 to 17. has the pattern already been set as a vest bedilug, or do you have to see 18 in order for the pattern to be set? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. The question becomes, is 15, can be 15 be counted? Is it only serve as an anchor? The Gemara, but they both subscribe to Rishim and Gamliel, says the Gemara. In terms of establishing a pattern, in the terms of losing a pattern, once the pattern, to establish a pattern, you need three times. To lose a pattern, you need to not see it three times. And if it's just one time or two times, you skip it once, and that's all you need in order to lose, in order to no longer be choshesh. But you do need to be choshesh for anomalous intervals, anomalous dates. But you only need to be choshesh for 1 month, and that's it. The Mishnah then at the end of the parak opened up the discussion of the women are like grapes, in that there is expected that just like the grape has a yield, it has juice coming out of it. The woman also will have a discharge of blood when she is with her husband. And then it opens up to the 10th parak. In the 10th parak, we talked about the dam basulim that comes from a woman when she's with her husband for the first time. How long can we assume that that's dam basulim? So the Mishnah broke up a woman into three developmental stages. Stage one, before menstruation. Stage two, at menstruation, but she hasn't started menstruating. And stage three, at menstruation, and she started menstruating. In each one of these three stages, machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how long can she be with her husband before a concern that this is no longer dam basulim, but it's a dam nida? And to go through the three stages according to Beis Hillel, stage one, achetichi amaka, stage two, arba leilos ad motzei Shabbos, and stage three, only laila rishona. As I mentioned already a couple times, wait till tomorrow until you hear the halach lamaisa. Three discussions in the Gemara. One, in stage number one, she's in stage number one, even if she saw as an anomaly, but she's still in stage number one. Second point we saw, what is tichi amaka? What does that mean until the wound heals? And there, the Gemara has various definitions. Rav gives a definition. Shmuel gives his definition of what does it mean, ashetech yamaka. And finally, when she's in stage two and she's with her husband, and the Mishnah says that she has four leilos, does that mean that she has four nights, even if they're with each other during the daytime as well? Machlok is between Rav and Levi.